Another beautiful day in the Midwest, and there is more uneventful weather coming our way for much of the week. That's unlike down at the Gulf, where everyone is prepping for tonight's arrival of Hurricane Sally. There's some tariff news breaking. We'll get to that in a moment. And we're out to help raise awareness of Suicide Prevention Month.
Live from a day we call today, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Dale Moore from Farm Bureau. Then it's on to Jason Meadows. And right after the news, we check in with seed and production editor Sonia Begeman from Farm Journal. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could call today tomorrow? But if we called today tomorrow, would we have to call today yesterday?
I think so. See, and then if today is tomorrow, then we have to do it all over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's the problem there.
Right.
That's
how you
that's
doing, man?
Super good. Super good. I've had my yogurt. Good. I've had my cage-free, organic, cruelty-free tea. It's we're off to a good start. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, the organic tea producers all over the world, thank you for that.
Good. You know, they're farmers too, for Pete's sake.
Sure they are.
Yeah, we love them.
I said they thank you for that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, very good. Very good.
So there is some tariff news that is breaking.
Oh.
Yeah, we've got, this is being reported by Bloomberg, by CNN, by AP, that the WTO has ruled against the Trump administration use of the Section 301 tariffs against China. Okay?
Okay.
So I don't know exactly what this means going forward, but fortunately, we had Dale Moore, the executive VP of American Farm Bureau, booked for this morning's show, and he can come on and help us understand exactly what is going on there.
I'm not even sure what Section 301 is. I'll be honest.
Well, Section 301... Section 301, they're part of the Trade Act of 1974, which empowers the president to levy tariffs and other import restrictions whenever a foreign country imposes unfair trade practices that affect U.S. commerce. The Trump administration has claimed that tariffs were necessary to confront China's widespread violations of intellectual property rights and forced technology transfer policies, which was happening. I think there's got to be some technicality stuff going on in here that we didn't give China enough time to respond to this, or we didn't do that, or we didn't do this. I don't think it's clearing China's theft of intellectual property and forced technology transfer policies. I think there's probably a technicality involved here. That, by the way, that summary of what Section 301 was straight from a Bloomberg story that was written this morning by Bryce Baschuk. Okay.
Oh, good work, Bryce. Yeah.
I didn't want to claim that knowledge, that offhand knowledge that was right in that Bloomberg story. All right. Go ahead. What do you got going?
Hey, Chip, just in response from the USTR, Bob Lighthizer, and getting right to what you said. He says this panel report confirms what the Trump administration has been saying for years. The WTO is completely inadequate to stop China's harmful technology practices. Although the panel did not dispute the extensive evidence submitted by the United States of intellectual property theft by China, its decision shows that the WTO provides no remedy for such misconduct.
Well,
there you go.
I kind of agree with that, John, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, John Harith, Farm Journal News Director right there. Thanks for the drop in on that, buddy. We're almost out of time already. Davis, get to it. What you got?
Yeah.
What else have you got in the news?
We'll go quick. USDA's crop progress and condition report update for the week ending September 13. Corn rated 60% good to excellent is down again on the week. Soybeans 63% good to excellent, cotton 45% harvested, spring wheat 92% harvested, winter wheat planted. Hurricane Sally, in case you haven't heard, expected to make landfall near the Alabama-Mississippi border today.
Oil and gas production in the Gulf has been shut in as a protective measure. As of midday yesterday, around 21% of oil and 25% of natural gas production in the Gulf of Mexico has been shut in.
Wow.
And along the lines of energy here, the International Energy Agency, or IEA, is forecasting continued softness in crude oil demand for the rest of 2020. And in fact, that echoes a report recently from OPEC, which expects for, you know, we've seen a little bit of a recovery in oil demand, but it looks like that recovery is either going to stall or perhaps even fall off.
Yeah, there's just so much unknown in the future of, of what our energy consumption is going to be. Hey, I'll take anybody's guess right now and give it consideration.
Right. Yes. Well, the CFAP assistance program has underwhelmed some lawmakers as it fails to replenish CCC funds. Some lawmakers are reportedly trying to withhold the White House request for more CCC funding as part of the coming continuing resolution. A watcher said the Ag Secretary has $14 billion to help provide relief, but without replenishment in that continuing resolution, he can provide no more, nor can he administer ARC, PLC, marketing loans, the sugar and dairy programs, conservation programs, and trade programs. And finally, a 50-member group of House Democrats and Republicans will release a $1.52 trillion coronavirus stimulus plan today in a long-shot attempt to break a months-long deadlock on providing relief to the pandemic-battered U.S. economy.
Jeff. All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Appreciate
You bet.
Thank you. Sonia Begeman, Seeds and Production Editor for Farm Journal, joins us right now. How you doing, Sonia?
Doing great.
Good. We've got lots of down or tangled up corn here in Iowa. How do you prioritize that for harvest?
Well, the first thing you need to do is if you have fields that are still standing, put those on number one priority. Get those taken care of first, then worry about that down corn. Because the reality is that that corn's already down.
Yeah.
It's not changing. The stuff that's up could go down. So take care of the stuff that's still standing first.
Gotcha. What about the grain quality on the corn that is down? What if somebody says, doggone it, if I leave it down there on the ground much longer, it's going to get out of condition on me. Odds are it probably already is. But
The thing is, they're absolutely right. Your risk of ear molds and even insects and things like that, it is certainly going up the longer it's down. So, I mean, you want to take care of it as fast as you can, but don't let your other fields go out of condition first. Just know, I mean, some quick tips on how to take care of that down corn so you can get as much as possible. You need to go slow. I mean, you're picking up stalks up off the ground. You're going to probably get a lot of dirt and other nasty stuff into. So slow down that combine. You're going to want to harvest against the grain. So whatever way it blew over, harvest, you know, the opposite direction so you can get as much as possible. You're going to want to get your corn head underneath those stalks as much as you can. That's where you're probably going to run into some issues with getting dirt and other things in there. Just go slow, do the best you can. And then, I mean, there's something we don't want to think about, but if you're dealing with down corn every year, there's some tools you can buy. Your neighbors might have one you can borrow. You might be able to rent it. You can look into things like corn reels, rotating cones, stuff like that. It can really help you get the most out of it, but absolutely keep an eye on that grain because it might not be so great whenever you go to store it.
Yep, that's right. And then a barge box and a 4-H club. Go out there and pick the ears up off the ground. That's what we used to do. Sonia, thanks. Appreciate it. All right. Sonia Begeman, Farm Journal. We'll be back with Dale Moore in a moment.
America's conservation ag movement would like to recognize Farm Journal Foundation for its efforts in contributing to healthier, more resilient production agriculture systems. To learn more, visit agweb.com/ACAM.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me. And you know, sometimes they say, Davis, it's better to be lucky than to be good. And I think we got lucky this morning with our guest, Dale Moore, Executive Vice President of American Farm Bureau Federation. Dale, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you?
Chip, thank you. I appreciate the compliment, and I feel blessed to be on with you guys. Thank you so much.
Excellent. You bet. I'm glad that you're here. We're going to get to the survey that AFBF did of President Trump and the Biden team. But first, the ruling announced by the WTO this morning, the WTO found against, I believe, the Section 301 tariffs levied by the U.S. on China. Do I have that right?
That is correct. WTO ruled that U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods violates international rules and that the U.S. did not prove the measures were justified. And so now we're kind of holding our breath and keeping our fingers crossed and saying prayers that that the United States government will take advantage of their opportunity to basically rebut or appeal or file kind of the counter motion with the WTO within the next 60 days so that we can hopefully bring this to a stop.
Well, it certainly sounds, according to the initial comment from Ambassador Lighthizer, that that is the plan when he says the panel report confirms what the Trump administration has been saying for 4 years. The WTO is completely inadequate to stop China's harmful technology practices. It certainly sounds like there's a pushback coming from the U.S.
Well, I always find it interesting, Chip, when China indicates that that the United States is not following WTO rules, as their track record is not particularly stellar in that regard.
Right, right. It feels to me like this is one that there's going to be an appeal filed within the next 60 days, and because of the way that the appellate body is set up right now, it's going to be tough for it to make much progress out of that.
Well, there is that in terms of the appellate body, and I think, again, points to the way, you know, it seems like with the appellate body, at least in history, going back not that many, you know, years, maybe a couple decades even, where, you know, if we are the defendant in a WTO case, the appellate body tends to find against us. If we've been, you know, the plaintiff, they find against us. So our confidence in the appellate body, frankly, is not the highest, and that's one of the things that we've been, you know, very appreciative of the hard work that Ambassador Lighthizer and his team, Greg Dowd, the U.S. Chief Ag Negotiator, and also one of the number three guy, and when it comes to, you know, behind Ambassador Lighthizer and his deputy, when they're looking into this, and they certainly put their time, energy, and effort behind trying to get China straightened out, and we're going to keep celebrating that effort and doing everything we can to help out.
Gotcha. Okay, let's get to the survey that you do with the presidential candidates. Dale, Farm Bureau's been doing this for like 40 years, right?
That's correct. It's about the 10th go-round, I guess, when you divided that 40 years by, you know, four. And so with the, you know, what we do is we come up with questions that are related to the key issues that affect the men and women that I have the privilege of working for all across the country, those things that farmers and ranchers have identified as the key issues, and they're kind of obvious. They're issues related to trade, to regulatory reform, related to, you know, tax issues, you name it. Rural America, another part of that, you know, focus that we have in there, and we put 12 questions together, and the process is pretty straightforward. We send that, to President Trump. We send it to former Vice President Biden. And they answer those questions. We publish them side by side, their answers to each question, and give our men and women, give folks like yourself, Chip, a chance to look at those answers. We don't edit. We don't opinionate.
Right.
We just share.
Yeah, that's one of the best things about it, Dale, it's raw answers, and those are really good. Did you notice a tone in the responses from the Trump administration?
Well, I think what we noticed, and I think it's pretty straightforward, and it's certainly understandable, when you look at President Trump's, you know, responses, they tend to focus a lot on his accomplishments over the past 4 years, which, you know, makes sense when you just stop and think about it. And we see that, you know, Vice President Biden, while, you know, reaching back and touching on some of the things he did as vice president, also, you know, indicating where, you know, he would go on certain issues, whether it's, you know, related to rural America or issues related to, you know, some of the sustainability questions that certainly popped up. But that's one of the things that, you know, in the tone, it's like, you know, what we are hoping for and what the men and women that we work for look for is, you know, is there an indication that these candidates understand how critical agriculture is, how critical farms and ranches are to the economy of this country, and by extension, how important it is for farmers and ranchers to be able to write their, you know, their balance books in black ink rather than red ink, which has been a challenge, as you know well, over these past 7 years.
Yeah, absolutely. The revenue from the marketplace, it's a major concern for all farmers, but were there any big plans? You know, I put that kind of in quotes, Dale, any big plans to get us out, to remove some of the financial stress from ag?
Well, I think they continue to look at all the different programs, certainly, you know, both camps, looking at both things like the farm programs, crop insurance, those risk management tools that Congress and the administration have worked on together, you know, year in, year out, decade in, decade out. But I think looking at the situation that we've got, you know, now, again, taking a, you know, again, looking at the trade situation, we've got to get trade back on track. And it's not just a China deal. It's all around the globe, getting a level playing field for the men and women we, you know, have the privilege of working for, but also making for certain that, that when they are working on those issues, science is carrying the ball. Our hope and prayer is that when they look at those issues too, they recognize that if you treat and if you work with farmers and ranchers as partners, as collaborators in this process, it's amazing how much you can get done.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Was there any indication in the responses from either former Vice President Biden or from President Trump at how well they understand the issues that were caused by the economic shutdown, which was caused by the pandemic?
I think that there's a great deal of appreciation, and again, I'm being very careful, Chip, so that I don't, you know, kind of cross the line in either direction.
Right.
But the key thing for us is that they, when they are looking at these issues and they recognize that we've got to have, you know, people, not just the President of the United States, but, you know, whoever the Vice President is, the Secretary of Agriculture, the U.S. Trade Ambassador, and on and on down the list, you know, administrators at EPA, all of those folks need to understand when they're working with farmers and ranchers, they've got to be keeping in mind that these men and women, they're working on thin margins. They want to do the right thing. And as we look at this COVID-19 and the impact that it's had all across the board, I think we continue to see and hope and pray that not only the president, whomever that may well be, but when we look at who's in the White House and who's in charge up on Capitol Hill, whether it's in the Senate or the House, that they're working together to take care of these issues. And that's that's the critical part. The policy details, we can argue over those as they move along.
Yep.
But we need men and women in place, both in Congress and certainly in the White House, that understand that rural America and the men and women who live there have got some real issues that they're wrestling with that don't necessarily translate easily when compared to the urban and suburban areas.
Very good. Very good. A couple more questions, but I don't want to miss out on this. Where do listeners go to get the full responses of the questions, Dale?
If you go to fb.org and just type in, you know, that survey, it's featured there on our front page. You can get that information. You can also find, and something that we put out there is our iFarm, iVote information to help farmers that and ranchers that may not be registered to vote, gives them information on that they can click on to find out where to register to vote if they are not yet registered.
Okay.
Certainly encouraging them if voting processes have changed in their particular jurisdiction, they can get that information. And then we just ask them to pledge that they will vote, because that's the biggest responsibility right now that we all have.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Very little time for this, but I got to ask, do you have a plan T and a plan B at AFBF?
I will say that that's one of the things that I love about working for Farm Bureau members all across the country. We've got a planned Farm Bureau, and we look forward to making sure that whatever is out in front of folks, that we're working on it together with the folks that are elected to represent us at any level.
Gotcha. Dale, thank you so much for jumping in here today. Appreciate your comments on the tariff ruling. and of course all the comments on the presidential campaign. Thanks, Dale.
Take care, Chip, and thank you for giving me a chance to visit with you a little bit today.
You bet.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture. It's brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Visit pivotbio.com to find a representative near you.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me. Yeah, so let's get back on this topic. It's one that we've gone to from time to time over the last, 18 months, Davis?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Something like that, mental health in rural America.
Yes.
And this is Suicide Prevention Month, and someone out there that has been working hard to raise awareness about all of that is Jason Meadows. He's the founder, the host, the guy behind the Ag State of Mind podcast. He joins us right now. Jason, how are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. How was vacation last week?
Oh, man. It was beautiful. We went out west and really enjoyed the mountains and some time away from the kids, but we're always glad to be back home to Green, Missouri. It's really nice.
Yeah, the kids. Did I count that right? What have you got for kids?
Oh man, I got I think 1,000. I don't know, last count. No, we've got 4 boys, and I mean, I tell you what, they're a handful. They're 15 twins that are almost 10, and then the youngest is 7, and I mean, they got us going every which way.
Talk about needing to stay mentally prepared at all times with a crew like that.
For sure.
Love it. So, Jason, tell us about the Ag State of Mind podcast.
Sure. Yeah, it's something I've been wanting to do for a long time now. Something, I mean, not necessarily the podcast, but something involving, somehow involving healthcare and agriculture. I'm a pharmacist. I went to school to be a pharmacist. Still work as one. But then I run a cow-calf operation, third generation. My dad owned a local sale barn. So, you know, agriculture plays a huge part in my life. And a huge part in all of my family's life. So I wanted to kind of bridge that gap because there's so much in rural America in ag country where that there's a lot lacking there. And I wanted to do my part to kind of bridge that gap and come together. And a podcast was something that I found that I could reach the most people with on my time, on my schedule. And it's worked out really well.
Good. So I appreciate that you're doing that. Are you sure that you're not doing it because cows make you crazy, dude? I mean, the sale barn and everything else?
Yes, absolutely. Like, you would think, since it's not what I do full-time, that it wouldn't mess with me as much as it does. But, man, it doesn't matter. I mean, market, weather, you know, sick cats, whatever it may be, that stuff just drives me crazy. So, I mean, a lot of it was for my own mental health as well.
Right. Well, the mental capacity of some of those bovine out there on the pasture that get themselves into situations that you just sit back and question, like, how in the hell did that happen?
You know, if you don't ask yourself why you're doing it at least 2 or 3 times a week, I don't think you're doing it right.
That's right. So with the podcast, Jason, what are the goals here? What are the goals?
So I wasn't really sure when I started. I just, kind of started. I wasn't sure about where it would go. I just wanted to kind of try it out and see if it worked. And if more than 10 people listened, then I'd be happy. It grew into a lot more than that. And so as far as where I want it to go, I want to be able to get out in front of more people if I can. You know, speaking at events, I think my ultimate goal is to get out in front of youth more and make this more, make there be more awareness of mental health and agriculture among the 4-H and FFA kids, because, you know, that was such a huge part of my upbringing.
That same here.
I want the youth of agriculture to understand that this is something that we've got to pay attention to, and I want them to be okay to talk about it before they know it's quote unquote not okay.
Right. Right. Yeah, I grew up a kid of the 80s. You know, I was 15 years old in 1980, Jason, and it was a trying time. There is no question about that. So I respect the heck out of that comment, wanting to get to the youth and help them get through what is a trying time. The financial stress out there in the farm families can be overwhelming at some times. So it sounds like the youth are some of the people that you're doing this for, but who else is out there that when you sit down and do a podcast, Jason, do you have somebody in mind? I mean, when I'm talking the cattle market, I've got Ron Nowacek sitting right in front of me, and I'm telling him exactly what I think he wants to know about what's going on in cattle. Hogs, there's Lauren Schwer sitting next to me. I've got those people out there. Does that happen to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those kind of people, the people who, I mean, I'm trying to talk to just anyone who has any kind of involvement and anybody who has any kind of doubts or any kind of pressures. I think the biggest thing to let people know, Chip, is that the problems that we are facing, it's exactly that. We're all facing them together. We're in this fight together, and there's no reason to single yourself out whenever you're struggling, because chances are there's tons of people who are in the exact same boat as you. And, you know, strength in numbers it's kind of cliche, but it's a real life. People really can struggle together better than they can alone.
Right. Right. You know, when you're struggling out there, Jason, and somebody reaches out to you, it can be difficult to accept that help. You've got it. That might be the first hurdle to get over. Yep. What do you tell people? Just open to the help.
Yeah, I had a friend who I consider him a friend now, but he wasn't really a friend at the time. He's just somebody who I had acquainted through social media, and you know, he's like, I need to talk to somebody. And you know, I'm not a licensed therapist. I'm not anything like that. I'm just somebody who is willing to listen. And you know, he reached out to me, and he's like, "Man, I've got these problems. I don't know what to do." And then, you know, I didn't even know exactly how to help him, other than just talking him through it. And even though we didn't even solve his problems, him and I just sitting and having a chat together really made him feel better. And I think that's what people have to realize, that just talking about this stuff is half the battle, and it's, you know, sometimes half the cure too.
Yeah, you've got to be willing to accept the help and have a conversation. But Jason, when somebody reaches out to you and says, "Hey, I need to talk," a lot of times the first reaction is, "Okay, we can talk, but let's do it later. I'm kind of busy right now."
Yeah.
If somebody reaches out and says, "Listen, I need to talk. I need some help." Even if they don't say "I need some help," if they just say "I need to talk," yeah, it's tough to put that schedule on hold and to sit and have a conversation with somebody that has to talk. But, boy, if you can do it, you got to do it.
For the most part, most stuff can wait. You know what I mean, Chip? I mean, we think we are so busy, and we are. We're all busy, but, man, are we too busy to sit and have a conversation with somebody that can really make a difference? And it doesn't have to be a lot of times it'll turn into a long conversation, and it doesn't have to be a one-time thing. I mean, it can be a continued dialogue among people, and, you know, I think that's what people have to realize is it's a stepwise process. It's always going to build on one conversation to the other.
Gotcha. Davis.
Well, and Jason, handsome sidekick here, Davis Michelson. To me, it feels like a matter of being willing to prioritize yourself. And you know, there are things that absolutely, like you say, have to get done. But sometimes the farmer can be selfless to a fault, especially with livestock absolutely. Involved and the timing of harvest. And there are certain times, certainly crunch time, whatever. You got a sick calf. You got, you know, sure. yep. your sheep producers. You got one with its head stuck in the fence. Okay, fine. But there are times when one can prioritize themselves, and they don't necessarily need to feel selfish for doing that. Agreed?
I totally agree. So my friend, this didn't come from her originally, but I told her if I tell the story enough, she's going to end up being the primary source. Because I can never remember who she heard it from. But my friend Adrian Sutter, she does a lot of work in the same kind of arena as I do. Mm-hmm. And she talked about how we have to start thinking of the farmers, the ranchers, the operators, the people who are working on the farm as assets to the farm. You know, what do you do with an asset? You take care of it. You know, you change your oil in the tractor. You know, you vaccinate your cow herd. You do all these things to make sure everything is taken care of. Why should the person who's doing the work be any different? I mean, you have to be a well-oiled machine as well.
Yep, that's good stuff.
Yep, I love that.
I really wish that was my idea. I wish I'm the one that came up with that.
Yeah, just keep telling the story. Pretty soon you can claim it.
Pretty soon I'll just claim it myself.
Exactly. Or you could just tell her that, hey, that's so good, I'm going to steal it and use it like I made it up myself.
Yeah.
Okay, literally 20 seconds here, Jason. Suicide Prevention Month. What do we need to know?
Just, you know, there's going to be a lot of stuff on social media, Suicide Prevention Month. Let it know that people don't commit suicide. People die by suicide. You know, sometimes it's not always a choice to the person who takes the action. So just be aware of that.
Jason, love the podcast. Love your stories. Love the people that you've been talking with. Stay in touch, okay, bud?
Thanks, Chip. Guys, Davis, appreciate the opportunity to be on here, guys.
All right, that is Jason Meadows, Ag State of Mind podcast.
Show how you farm on by purchasing name brand merchandise from Farm Journal and Cowpokes Work and Western. Visit cowpokesonline.com right now, and $2 of every item purchased will be donated to 4-H.
Streetlights along the highway. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip. Hey, everybody, listen up here. You can get 24/7 access to all of the great content from Farm Journal Field Days at agweb.com/fielddaysondemand. Now, one of the coolest conversations that we had was with Dr. David Cole of Virginia Tech, who talked about some of the latest impacts of COVID-19 on agriculture.
One of the things that makes this black swan different than other black swans was demand destruction. And one of the things that we're going to have to think about, and of course, we operate a dairy creamery, and we're developing our business with a 90% economy. And however, not all parts of the economy are going to be 90%. Actually, if you look at schools, universities, sports, entertainment, hotels, and travel, they're going to operate at a 50 to 75% economy. However, on the positive side, businesses like Amazon buying online will be 125%. The other element that we've really got to examine is Russia and OPEC trying to drive our ethanol, fracking, and alternative energy out of business, where the oil is one of the major, major aspects of my agricultural business. Matter of fact, $8 out of every $10 we spend on a farm and ranch business is somehow oriented toward oil. And the consumer confidence is often driven by stability in oil prices. We're going to have to watch that very, very closely. And again, this comes back to impact commodity prices. The impact overall is alignment with industry segments, with consumer shifts, quick supply and demand shifts, and seesaw consumption. And that's where you get your volatility.
Yeah, that's Dr. David Cole delivering the goods. Again, Dr. Cole, of course, is from Virginia Tech. The best of Farm Journal Field Days is brought to you by Channel and the new hashtag Growing Ahead initiative, sponsored by Bayer. Follow at Channel Seed on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook to see how local teams have gone virtual to keep delivering solid agronomic advice. And Davis, boy, I tell you, talking about the latest impacts of COVID-19 on agriculture, that's one of those things that's going to be a conversation that we're going to keep having for a while now. You look out and the World Ag Expo for early 2021 has already been canceled, dude.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
it just doesn't stop.
Yeah. Yeah. It continues on. Now, the influence, the impacts, I want to believe that some of them are softening on the demand destruction. I mean, you look at ethanol production was basically cut in half. Now we're back to within about 10% of where we were a year ago at this time. So we are seeing the clawback of the economy and some of these issues out there. I think that's all really good. Really
sure.
Good.
Yep.
Yep. Scott Jellity, by the way, was on Fox Business this morning. I caught just a little bit of it. Scott was on the show last week with us with Ag Optimus. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about some of the social impacts of the shutdown again and how it is having such a tremendous impact on consumer confidence. Really, that's what we're talking about here, right? It's consumer confidence and how quickly can we get back to work. Yeah. You started the news this morning with the crop progress report, Davis.
I did, sir. Yep.
Yes. Percent of corn dented, 89% across the country versus a five-year average of 82%. Corn mature, 41% versus 32%. So you go up there to North Dakota and you look at the percent mature. This is as of September 13th. As of September 13th, it was just 18%. So if you're wondering how much of that corn crop up there was at risk to the freeze that we got up there earlier this month, take a look at that. It's like 80% or more of the crop was vulnerable. So give a listen to yesterday morning's conversation with Dr. Joel Ransom, NDSU Extension agronomist, as far as some of the impacts out there. And I'm still waiting for that test weight conversation to get ramped up again out there on Twitter, because it's always an enjoyable conversation. I don't know.
She's slow to start this time around for some reason.
I'm not sure what it is.
I'll get it going. Test weight doesn't matter.
Thank you.
Don't at me.
Thank you.
Hashtag it.
60% of the U.S. corn crop is rated good to excellent. That is down 1% from the previous week. The immediate reaction yesterday to the decline, the deterioration in the crop conditions, was kind of tongue in cheek, but at the same time, I think it was warranted because we finally got the rain.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
We finally got the rain, and yet the condition of the crop went down. Shows how much damage was done by the dry conditions leading up to it. Shows how much the crop was pushed going into the end of the growing season. So really, what that tells me, and I believe that the conditions on soybeans went down as well. Did. Went down 2 points to 63%. Which is down from 65% good to excellent in the previous week. So even the bean crop was pushed hard enough. Percent of the bean crop dropping leaves, 37% versus the five-year average at 31%. So everything's moving along and moving along pretty quickly, dude.
It sure is. It feels like it was a rush into the finish. It was pushed into the finish, kicked into the finish perhaps even.
Yeah, right up until Labor Day. And then when we cooled it off and got those rains coming back through, it's like we decided to put everything in the fridge for a little bit. Yeah.
The corn's looking at each other going, well, it's 2020, you know.
Yeah.
Even the corn knows
that you can't trust anything that happens in 2020. Crazy stuff. You know, Jason had some great comments, stuff that I really respect, and I know you do too, Davis. Yep. Just be aware of your surroundings out there. If you know someone that is struggling, reach out in a kind way, in a gentle way, and just see if there's anything that you can do for those that need some help right now. Thank you so much for listening. You got to come back this afternoon. Dan Utech, New Vision Co-op out of southern Minnesota, mostly southwest Minnesota, is our guest. Tomorrow morning, we're going to hear from Oregon Farm Bureau right here on AgriTalk.